and welcome back to the Layover Podcast episode. I have honestly no idea. This week we are doing, apparently the name is Ben's Jet Lag Trivia Bonanza-tacular. The premise is basically that I did not have time to prep for this week's podcast in any host capacity because I was catching up from our filming in Europe last week. And so I was like, Ben, can you prepare a thing? And Ben was like, yeah. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome this week's special guest podcast host person, Benjamin Doyle.
Hello. Welcome to Ben's Jet Lag Trivia Bonanza-tacular Mania.
What? You didn't tell me about the mania.
Basically, I'm adding more adjectives and nouns.
He did, in fairness, Sam, and I will pull back the curtain here. He did say mania before we started recording.
It doesn't matter.
I wish we had a tape to roll back.
All that matters is what gets written into the title of this podcast episode, and that remains to be seen.
Well, I'm the one who uploads. I get control over that.
Well, then we'll see what you ultimately decide.
Okay.
Here's how the game works. You, Sam, and Adam are going to be working together to answer trivia questions and win fabulous prizes.
What's the prize?
Well, I'm getting to that. There are 12 questions, and there are 4 tiers of prizes, okay? If you guys get 6 of the 12 questions right, you get the first prize, which is all of the money in my Venmo account, which right now is $1.12. You can split that up however you please.
Nice.
If you get 8 questions correct, you get the second tier prize, which is that you get control of my Twitter account for one tweet. You guys get to write a tweet. It could be anything. I'll tweet it. Okay? Number 3, 10 questions. If you get 10 of the 12 correct, the third tier of prize is a jet lag buff for both of you. That's a real object.
Oh, wow.
Whoa, that's pretty
good. That's a great prize. Yeah.
Probably the most demanded piece of merch.
It is.
And you have a complete, like...
He controls the supply chain.
I control the supply chain. I have a bunch of them.
He has a monopoly. Is that what you were trying to say, Sam?
That was the word. I was up really late finishing the last Wendover video. My brain is economics'd out. Anyway, sorry, Ben, continue.
Jet lag buffs. You both get jet lag buffs. You get 10 of the 12. And if you get 12 out of 12, both of you get the grand prize, which is a cookie coupon. That you can exchange this at any time, and I will bake you a tray of cookies. And they are good.
Does it include shipping?
No, I will not ship them to you. You have to be here.
Damn it. That seems unfair.
I live here, so it works out great for me.
They won't be good if I ship them to you.
Yeah.
All right. These are, frankly, Ben, the prizes are much better than I expected.
They're great prizes. They're fabulous prizes. And so you got to do well. So 12 questions. You guys have 5 minutes for each question.
Wow.
You can't obviously like go look things up. You have to discuss among yourselves and come to an answer.
5 minutes, a really long time. Okay.
A lot of people have asked for Adam and I to be together on a team, which we only ever have in the context of tasks.
Yes.
True.
Like I think Ben and I have partnered up on more things.
That is true.
And the argument, I think, was always that we're both too competitive and therefore teaming up would create some sort of like black hole or something like that.
Right. Well, if you remember from season 1 of Tag, when we teamed up, we got so stressed out thinking of things that Ben maybe would do that we talked ourselves into strategic blunders.
Yeah. And I can't stress enough, that definitely did not happen in Tag 2.
For sure.
Not at all.
Not in the slightest.
This time, you know, it's fine because you're not competing against anyone. So I imageine, you know, you can keep the stress levels manageable.
We're competing against you, Ben.
Well, that's true. You're competing against, like, God.
What?
Wait, did you just self-describe yourself as God?
No, it's just like, I'm not a competition. You're sort of competing against the circumstances of life. Here.
But you're the circumstances.
We're starting the game, okay?
Okay. I think Ben's ego is getting too big.
The first question should be pretty easy. I think you guys can figure this one out. The question is, in season 1, Connect 4, how many total states were claimed by the end of the game? Your 5 minutes start now.
Oh, okay, no, we can figure this out, Sam. Don't worry.
Can I look at a map?
No. Well, you can look at a map, but you can't look at a map like of the game, obviously.
Yeah, we can do this. We can do this.
Okay, we can do this very quickly. I bet I could recite them off the top of my head right now. I'm going to write them down as I go.
Well, I think let's do it in order.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So we start off Wyoming, Colorado.
Well, I guess Illinois doesn't count. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I'm just saying in order of the game, we got Wyoming and Colorado, and then you got California, right? And you got...
Well, should we do it just on the individual sides? Maybe that is easier.
Maybe, sure. Wyoming, Colorado, and then we got on a plane and we got Arizona, right? That's three.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, we went up and we claimed Oregon, and we didn't get Washington. We just got Oregon.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, so we got Oregon.
Yeah, because you went to Salem and then you returned from Portland.
That's
yeah.
right. We got Oregon, and then we went to, I think we would have flown then to Utah.
Yeah, but you didn't claim it yet.
Which ultimately we ended up getting because of the plane derailment. And then we went up to Montana, but we didn't get it.
Yeah, so you got five.
Yeah.
Then, right? Okay, so on our side, we flew to San Francisco, drive to Sacramento, one. Then we went to Carson City, two. Yeah. Yeah. We flew to Arizona, didn't claim it. Then we flew to Idaho, three.
Yeah.
Then we flew to Utah.
Didn't
but
claim it.
Did not claim it.
Yeah.
And then we got Montana. And was that really it? Yeah.
And that would be it.
We just got the four? Yeah.
So I'm just trying to make sure I'm not that missing right. any of mine and Ben's. So
you have 1.5 minutes remaining.
Oh, boy.
Wyoming, Colorado. And then, yeah, we flew from Denver to Arizona. And then we flew from Arizona to Oregon, to Portland. And then we drove from there. And then from there, we went to Utah, I believe, to get Montana.
Yeah, I think this checks out.
Okay, I think that's it. Yeah, I think we're done.
So what's your final answer?
Okay, we're locking in nine as final answer?
Yeah, yeah.
Lock it in.
Bang. Okay.
I hit the buzzer.
You've got it. The correct answer is nine. So
hell's yes.
You guys have 1 point.
It's pretty striking how short that season was, thinking back of it.
It's a very short one. I'm also now realizing we should issue a warning. There will be spoilers for past jet lag seasons.
Always good to warn that after the fact.
Because we did just go through the entirety of season one. So if there are seasons you haven't seen, go watch all of Jet Lag the Game now and then come back to the podcast. But I imagine that all of the people who are this deep into listening, like, off-season podcast on Nebula have seen everything because they're ravenous.
I mean, if you haven't watched all the seasons and you're listening to this, just got to say, like, we have better content.
Yeah, that's true. I would podcast. Really
Not
recommend.
True. This is one of our finest games we've ever come up with.
Okay.
Okay. Second question. It's also about season one, but it's a bit of a different sort of question. It's multiple choice.
Oh.
Okay. And it's wow. about analytics.
Well, this is an Adam question. Adam stresses endlessly about analytics. I think Adams has taken years off of his life through heart rate stress by looking at the YouTube Creator Studio app.
We'll see if you guys can get it. Apart from the opening minute of each video and the end of the season, what moment caused the largest retention spike in season one?
Oh.
I'll list the options, but just for the audience. Basically, we can see sort of a graph on each episode where, you know,
I'm almost certain I already know this off the top of my head.
A certain percentage of the audience is watching at any given moment. And so sometimes if people are going back and rewatching things or like something is really exciting and people are staying, you know, there will be a higher percentage of retention at a particular moment in a video. So I'm going to give you the four options. It is either A, the explanation of the first rest period.
No.
B, the pilot's announcement of the diversion to Salt Lake City.
No.
C, the first cut to me being drunk. Or D, Brian approaching Adam and I on the original flight to Butte.
It's D.
I'm starting
it's D.
your time now.
The answer is D. The answer is D. D is the answer.
Are you locking in D?
Yes.
I haven't consented.
Sam, would you like to discuss with Adam?
I feel like for the sake of content, we probably should.
I will say here, the excitement of a moment doesn't necessarily translate to highest retention.
Well, that's what I was about to say, is basically like these retention spikes, they tend to be caused by people rewatching, people going back and rewatching a section.
Look, I think it's possible that it's the first cutback to Ben. Here's the thing. I haven't like looked into the analytics and looked at this exact question, but I do know for a fact that when it cuts to Brian going up to me in my expression, that has a huge retention spike. And I like know that it does.
Well, it's also like the end of the episode, right?
Right, yeah.
So it's the exact spot where you would expect people. Yeah. Like, I think I agree. The only thing is, I feel like Ben has gotten pretty sneaky/smart with his potential suggestions. I'm guessing that Ben collected a number of high retention moments, and it's basically about which one is the highest high retention moment.
Yes.
Because they all make sense.
Yeah.
And to be clear, it's not the highest relative spike. It's just, what is the moment that has the highest number, the highest percentage of viewers watching?
Wait. Oh, I thought it was relative to the rest.
No, because that's not a thing.
That's a more difficult question because the end of an episode is going to have lower overall retention.
Yeah, true.
So Ben being drunk might be higher just because you've got more overall viewers at that point.
Well, Ben also mentioned the explanation, right?
I don't think it's that. The first explanation.
Yeah, it's the explanation of the first rest period, the pilot's announcement of the diversion to Salt Lake City, me being drunk, or Brian approaching Adam and I to the original flight to Butte.
I really still think that it's D.
Probably. Yeah, I worry about it considering it's at the end of the episode and therefore...
I guess that is a consideration.
I don't know. Do you want to lock it in or what?
Here's the thing. I'm less confident now knowing that it's the overall thing, but I think that if this is the right answer and we change it, that would be a massive L. I still think this is the most likely.
Oh, let's do it. That'll be entertaining.
I still think this is the most likely thing because I remember that having a huge retention spike.
I mean, it makes sense. It was an all-time moment.
Yeah.
Okay, should we lock it in?
Yeah.
Let's lock it in. All right, buzzer.
Okay, you are incorrect.
Fuck.
The highest retention moment in the season was actually the pilot explaining the diversion to Salt Lake City.
Oh.
I will say there was a big spike when Brian approaches us on the plane. I think that might be number two. But actually, it's...
I guess that is at the beginning of an episode.
It's at the beginning of an episode. And it's also, it's the last episode of the season where retention overall is going to be higher.
Yeah. And it's like the audio's not great. So you want to...
I bet you anything that the relative spike of D is bigger.
I think that that's probably right. Okay.
All right.
I'm afraid, gentlemen, you've lost the grand prize already.
What was the grand prize?
The cookie coupon. You can't have cookie coupon anymore. But you're still competing for three more fabulous prizes. Okay?
Ben, when he was in Colorado, when he worked in our Colorado office, would bring in brownies, I think, on a every other day basis.
Yeah.
To the point where they were accumulating faster than they could be consumed.
It was awesome.
So I can attest to the fact that Ben's baked goods are very good. He seems to just go into like a bit of a trance and... I think it's like a Ratatouille style thing.
I am getting Ratatouille'd. That's my secret.
Yeah, where he's just like taken away by the baking.
I don't think that a Ratatouille situation is when you yourself are caught up in something. It is when something's controlling you.
No, I'm Ratatouille'd by myself.
Well, I'm trying to say without saying anything more that I think something other than Ben's self is controlling him in some of these moments.
What do you think is controlling him?
I'm Ratatouille'd by my passion for baking.
Yes. That's what we're saying, definitely.
Oh, I get what you're
saying.
Okay.
Substances are legal in the state of Colorado. It's all good.
And New York.
Here we go. For what it's worth, I'm way worse at baking when I am intoxicated. It's a fucking nightmare.
What's the third question?
Okay, the third question. Name four towers not used or seen in season 6.
Oh, okay.
These can be towers that we printed but ultimately cut before playing.
Okay, this should be easy. Let me think. Oh, actually, maybe this
I've
is harder
pretty much memory hold
thought.
The towers.
Fuck. We did Gravity Tower. We did Pizza Tower. We did Odd Tower. Oh, God. Well, I'm trying to remember which ones we actually left in.
Wait, did you say pulled or used?
They can be ones that we cut before we played.
Oh, okay.
But they have to be ones that were in the deck that we brought to Japan.
Right.
Because we cut like two or three before.
But for example, like we pulled the odd number train one, but I don't think anyone ever used it.
Yeah, but that doesn't count.
No, not seen.
It doesn't count?
They can't have been seen. We want to give people.
Can't even be seen.
We're telling people about exciting new content.
I can't remember.
Okay. Wait. No, there are some. I think one was like an EMP tower and you couldn't use your phone.
You've got one. That's one of them.
Another one was there was like a joy tower and you had to skip everywhere.
I'll give you that one. It was called the ecstasy tower.
Yeah, yeah.
That's two.
There was... Oh, gosh.
We had some really big ones. Like, we tended to only play the small ones, I think, but weren't there some, like, really big radius ones?
There were some really big radius ones.
What would those have? Because those would have been, like, low impact.
We did the one where you have to roll a dice.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
What were our low impact, high radius towers?
We did vampire.
I am of no help here. All of this memory has gone out the window.
There's some pretty interesting ones. There are some ones that I'm looking at here that had we actually kept them in the deck would have absolutely fucked up the game real bad.
Was there a backwards tower? You could only move backwards. I think we cut that.
That was certainly not one that we printed.
Was there a separate one that was like you can't communicate with your partner? Like you can't?
Yes, I'll give you that one. The scramble tower. Opponents cannot speak to other people, including their partner, in English or translate anything using their phone.
Okay.
Great. That's three.
Oh, Spanish tower. There was one that you could only translate things into Spanish.
That was not a tower.
Oh, that was a curse. Shit.
Yeah.
How much time do we have left? Okay, so we have three.
You've got a minute and a half.
Oh, God. Ah. Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay, one more tower. Oh, God.
High radius towers. We had the big radius. What were those?
Jail tower we did.
And I'm trying to think like backwards, like, if we were to design a tower now with a big radius, what would we put on it?
We did lightning tower.
60 seconds.
I guess this was a challenge. The one about avoiding 7-Elevens.
That was not a tower.
That wasn't a tower.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Ice, lightning. Is there like a fire tower?
We had the one where you had to carry water. We pulled that.
Yeah, we did that one. The gravity tower.
30 seconds.
Oh, shit.
Did we have any about like... our backpacks are like,
no. Nope.
We sometimes have things like that. Like we have to empty.
Sam's just making up towers, hoping that they were ones we came up with.
Was there one where you had to tie your shoes together?
Nope.
No, I think we brainstormed that, but decided it was too disruptive.
10 seconds.
Oh no. I got nothing.
Negative coins?
Nope.
Or all your coins go to your opponent?
Nope.
That was Vampire Tower.
That was Vampire Tower. You have unfortunately not succeeded at this question. Some answers I would have accepted. The Drought Tower. Opponents cannot do challenges in this area. The Tax Tower. Opponents must pay double for all transportation in this area. The Chess Tower. Upon entering the area, opponents must play the tower in a game of chess. If they lose, they are tagged. There are quite a few.
We put that one in?
That one was in the deck.
We're supposed to reject that one.
That we printed.
I remember that discussion.
It ended up getting taken out of the deck. It was.
We took it out of the deck before we played, but it got printed.
I remember discussing it. I was like, I don't know how to play chess.
Yeah, well, neither do I.
It made it very difficult.
No, it got taken out before we started the game.
Okay.
Wow, we're doing really badly.
Well, the problem is, like, my recollection of these towers that Ben just mentioned is, like, zero beyond the chess one. Because we all, like, memory hole it once the season's done.
It's true. There was a lot of stuff we were trying to jam into our brains before this season. So remembering all the towers is...
behind the scenes thing. When we were preparing to do Tag 2 a couple weeks ago, we had to, like, go back and, like, review our rules docket and be like, wait, what was the rule? And, like, there were some things that we had to actually, like, go into the episodes to figure out what the rules were because we didn't have them properly written down and stuff.
Yep.
It was like we had to, like, reconstruct our own game because we forgot it so
no,
much.
No, I'm sure the audience knows our games better than we do.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Question four. This is an interesting one. Across all seasons and Crime Spree, which airport appears in the most number of videos?
Oh, I feel like it's got to be LAX.
Well, let's think about it. Crime Spree.
But number of videos. So not number of times we go through an airport, but number of videos when we see
it. Well, let's think about it. LAX has come up only twice in Crime Spree episode one.
Oh, then it's probably Denver.
And
yeah.
Then, wait, I guess Crime Spree episode two includes LAX as well, because that's what we fly out of ultimately. So that's two episodes. And then LAX is in the final episode of Circumnavigation. So that's three. That's three total episodes.
But it's also in Battle for America.
Do you go to LAX? Do you fly into LAX?
That's where we did the leprechaun thing.
Right. Okay. So that's four episodes.
I feel like it's either that or, well, so Denver, we start circumnavigation there. We end circumnavigation there. We go there in Battle for America. You go there in Connect Four.
So wait. So Denver is in two episodes of circumnavigation plus in Battle for America, you fly into Denver, right? So one.
But is that across two? Well, I guess no, we would only see it once because the season ended after that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's in two episodes of circumnavigation, one episode of Battle for America, and one episode of Connect Four.
Connect Four.
Yeah. Is it in Crime Spree? No.
No, I don't think
so. Okay, so that's four again. So that's a tie of four. So maybe it's LaGuardia, though, or JFK.
LaGuardia.
Because JFK, what?
You said LaGuardia in a very New York way.
Okay, we don't have time for this.
I'm sorry.
LaGuardia would come up in one episode of, well, I don't know which one we go to. In Crime Spree, we fly out of a New York airport. I think it is LaGuardia.
If you were flying to LAX, it probably would not have been LaGuardia because it has the perimeter rule.
No, it was. It was the weird. They only have one flight on Spirit to LAX. It's a Saturday one. That's what we took. So that would be once then. And then we either fly into or out of LaGuardia in circumnavigation. So that's one. Connect Four, it doesn't happen.
We fly into LaGuardia in Crime Spree.
Okay. You fly into LaGuardia in Crime Spree.
Yep.
So that would be another one. We fly back to LaGuardia in Crime Spree as well. So I think that's right. So it's in two episodes of Crime Spree, one episode of circumnavigation. No one flies out of it in Battle for America, do they?
No, because we fly out of the East Coast from...
Right.
We're not there. And y'all fly out from also not there. I forget where.
1 minute.
Okay.
I feel like we have a three-way tie.
No. LaGuardia is only three episodes, I think. I think
it's got to be LAX or Denver.
I will say it is not a tie. There is one that is number one.
Oh, no.
Okay, and it's about individual episodes, not number of times going through it.
Yes.
Okay, so LAX, twice in Crime Spree.
Yes.
Once in Circumnavigation. Once in Battle for America. Not in Connect Four. Yeah?
No. Yeah, because our only California thing was up in San Francisco.
20 seconds.
Ah!
And then Denver is twice in circumnavigate. If there is one winner, then it's probably Denver, because I feel like we're probably forgetting a Denver appearance.
5 seconds.
Denver's probably split among
let's say
things.
Denver.
All right,
Denver.
You're locking in Denver? That is correct.
Oh, hell yeah.
Denver appears in 5 videos. You were forgetting Crime Spree. It's where Sam starts.
Oh, yeah.
Damn it.
Denver appears in Crime Spree Episode 1, Season 1 Episode 1, Season 2 Episode 1, Season 2 Episode 5, and Season 4 Episode 5, with the runners-up being the ones you identified.
Right. Okay, great. We did it.
So, good job. You're still in the running for the third tier prize. Okay. Name 6 of the artists on the Great American Artists list in Season 4.
Fuck you.
Do it.
Fuck you.
6 is not that hard.
I don't know artists.
Okay, fine. Okay, I can do some of them. Basquiat.
Yep.
Basquiat.
Whatever. Andy Warhol.
Yep.
That's who we
did. That's 2.
Is this American like Merca or American like the continent?
Like this is Merca, I believe.
Merca, okay.
Okay, Basquiat, Andy Warhol.
Wait, how many people are on the list?
Who's that guy? There's like 15.
Ooh. You just have to name 6.
Can I name incorrect ones?
Who's that guy? Keith something. He does those like stick figures.
Keith Haring?
There it is.
Keith Haring is on there. Yep, yeah. That's 3.
Who are other classic American artists?
Banksy. No, he's British.
Banksy is British and he's not on there because he sucks.
Rude.
Let's think. I'm trying to think of who's the guy that did Trumbull. Is Trumbull on there? He did a lot of...
No.
Okay, fuck. Shit.
I don't know who's American.
Who are other iconic... Ooh, the guy, Pollock, Jackson Pollock.
Yep, that's 4.
That's 4. Peter Max, is he on there?
No, he is not.
Okay.
What was the rest of Warhol's crew? He had that whole crew that he, like, did LSD with and stuff.
I don't know.
But they were all, like, famous artists, famous American artists.
I would love if you could think of some.
There are several people from his crew on there.
There are?
Yes. You need 2 more great American artists.
Is there someone whose last name is Whistler?
Yes.
Simon Whistler, the YouTuber, he's British.
James Abbott McNeil Whistler is on there.
Okay, great. I got James Abbott McNeil Whistler. That's five. So we just need one more.
I think I'm really carrying this one.
Yeah, I feel like that too. Okay, just one more.
I don't know that I would consider Simon Whistler to be a great artist.
Who's another iconic American artist? Sam, can you think of any iconic American artists?
No. No.
I'm thinking.
What about, like, is Calder American?
Nope.
Damn it. What about...
Oh, actually, he is American, but he was not on the list.
Oh, damn. So that was a half-decent guess. Hells yes.
Oh, we can't be one short again. No.
2 minutes.
Oh, 2 minutes. Easy. Okay.
Is Kandinsky American, technically?
He's not on the list.
Kandinsky.
Okay. Mondrian and Malevich are also not American, I imagine.
Nope.
Was Rothko American?
Yes. And he's on the list. Yes! That's six.
Oh.
Okay.
You can't see here, but I have a Malevich, a Mondrian, and a Kandinsky sitting above me. And I didn't think any of them were American, but if one of them was and I hadn't guessed them and they were literally right above me, I was
going to That would have really, been embarrassing. Although people can't really see your apartment right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Rothko. That. Fuck. Yes. All right.
Okay, ready?
Oh, this is such a stressful game. Because we can't get any more wrong if we want the buffs.
That's true. You got to get all right from here on out to get the buffs, which are an excellent prize. While filming season 3, New York Times bestselling author and Jetlag the Game superfan John Green gave me a cookie. What did the cookie say on it?
What?
Oh, it was...
It was in French, I think.
Yeah, but it was from... He had just gone to... He had got it from some event that he had just been to.
That is correct.
I don't remember anything about this.
What was that event? So, I mean, John had just come back from a tour of actually Champagne Ardenne. He was in the Champagne region and he really didn't want that on camera because it felt like it didn't fit his vibe. But it was some, damn it. I remember the cookies specifically. And I remember that it was from an event. I just can't put two and two together.
Surely it was just like a French word, like merci. Like maybe it was merci because it was like, thanks for coming.
No, I will give Sam credit. It is the name of an event that he got the cookie at.
Yeah, it was like branded as the event.
I have no idea.
You can think about what was going on in France at the time, what he might have been going to.
It was late July. Was it the Tour? No.
Oh, no, it was the Tour de France. I remember this. It was on Twitter. Tour de France. It said Tour de France on it.
Are we locking it in?
You posted a picture of it on Twitter.
Okay, I feel like you stole that answer from me.
It's all yours, Sam. It's all yours.
It was teamwork. Are you locking it in?
I think it is Tour de France.
Why did he get a cookie from the Tour de France, though?
I'm almost certain it was Tour de France.
I can't speak to this at all until you lock it in.
Sam, can we please lock it in?
Okay, fine.
That is correct. It was Tour de France.
Hells yes.
I don't know why he had a cookie. I don't know why I received it, but that is what happened. Okay, let's keep things moving. Across the channel's lifetime, what are our top five countries in terms of viewership?
Oh,
U.S.
Shoot. U.S., U.K.
U.K.
Germany.
Germany, sure.
Germany is number three.
Oh, I mean, traditionally...
It can't be Netherlands because their population is too small.
No.
Canada.
I mean...
Canada.
Well...
I'm almost certain Canada.
Canada can vary depending on channel, depending on how high it goes. And similar like Australia, but we tend to have like
a high Aussie
a audience. Disproportionately international audience relative to most channels.
I'm almost certain that the top four is US, UK, Germany, Canada. And then it's just a question of what's fifth. I mean, Ben, can you go ahead and, I mean, how does this work? Do we have to guess all five at once? Can you confirm that those four are correct?
I can't confirm anything until you lock in an answer.
Can we lock in those four?
No, it's one answer. It's not five questions.
Well, that's a really hard question then. We have to get all five?
This is not a fucking cakewalk trivia show. This is Ben's jet lag trivia bonanza-tacular mania.
Okay, all right, Sam. I think the most likely other one is probably Australia.
I think so. Yeah, but...
Because what else would it be, you know? Like...
Yeah, I mean... Some channels will have India up in there, but I don't think we would.
We don't. I've looked multiple times at our country split. So, like, I have some
sense. I think Australia is right because we tend to be pretty English language dominant.
And also, I imagine that the New Zealand season brought up the relative Australia numbers.
Yeah, because they're all the same thing, right?
It's Oceania. Okay, I don't feel super confident about this, but I think our best guess, Sam, is US, UK, Germany, Canada, Australia.
Yeah, I'm not that confident in that, but at least I wouldn't have a more confident guess.
I think it's possible we're going to get one wrong. Yeah. But I don't think we have a better guess. All right, lock it in.
That is correct. Not only is that correct, it's also the right order.
Hells yes.
Let's go.
Hells yes.
Very good. Okay. Next question. You obviously don't have to get this word for word, but you do have to get it pretty much right, which is, in season 5, what was the challenge at Nugget Point?
What?
Challenge at Nugget Point?
First of all, what was even season 5?
That was New Zealand.
Season 5 was New Zealand. We're talking about Nugget Point, New Zealand. I would say you can look at a map of where Nugget Point is if you want.
That would help.
Okay.
Nugget
I'm assuming point. It's like it just is something that didn't come up because it was...
Oh, we didn't do this challenge. Yeah.
No, we didn't do this challenge.
Oh, I think I remember. I think this was the penguins.
No, I don't think so.
Are we sure?
No.
There might have been rocks at Nugget Point, potentially. Was it that one? Amahu. Oh, it started with an O, I guess.
Yeah, I think they were up in Oamaru.
Just for the audience's reference, Nugget Point is on the South Island, and it's right at the bottom of South Island.
Oamaru was the penguin. Okay, wait, so Nugget Point. Oh, I remember this would have been the one. There was a castle there, I think. And I think that it was, fuck.
You're welcome to like look at Nugget Point on a map and see what's there, what's around.
Okay.
Well, this was the penultimate. Was this?
There was the lighthouse. No, I remember what it was. It was the signal. It was the Morse code one. The Morse code one was originally somewhere else, but we moved it to Nugget Point, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. The other one we had around here that I think was not this, but just to confirm, was
the kite.
The kite, yeah.
This was before the kite.
I think that's right. Because, yeah, we were like prepping to do the Morse code because we thought we were going to take this route. So I think that's right.
Yeah, I'm almost certain you had to have a word in Morse code that you used like a flashlight to communicate to your partner.
Yeah.
Locking it in?
Okay. Locking that in.
That is correct. Yeah. You had to communicate a 12-letter word to your teammate using only Morse code from the Nugget Point Lighthouse.
Wait, so how many points do we have?
I think we have 4.
What's important is how many points you've lost. You've lost 2 points.
Out of how many
questions have we asked?
So that was question 8.
That was question 8? Oh, so we're 6 for 8.
Oh, so we got a prize already. So we get your Venmo.
That's true. Yes, you've gotten 6 right. So you get $1.12 from my Venmo.
Ooh, my
to
gosh.
Split however you like.
I think we should just give it all to Adam. I think he deserves
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That makes my life slightly easier. Okay, next question. Which of our videos has the most comments?
Fuck.
Comments? Oh.
It's either episode 1 or episode 7 of Tag, almost certainly.
Well, wouldn't it likely be a very controversial one?
I think that the episode 1 of Tag has so many more views than any of our other videos. I would think it would still outweigh.
True. I feel like that's too intuitive an answer, though.
But I know that finales tend to have a lot of comments as well. It's also possible it could be episode 3 of Tag, which was very controversial because I took my disguise off.
Well, what episode was discovering that humans are animals? Because that was a very controversial one, too.
Yeah, that would have been episode, 5 of Tag, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like episode 1 is right, but I also feel like that's too intuitive of an answer, and I don't know if Ben would put that as...
Well, because the first episode and the last episode of seasons tend to have the most comments.
But this is Ben's question 9, and I feel like the questions are escalating in difficulty, so I feel
but
like...
But I feel like he's trying to fuck with us.
I know, yeah. But also, on the other hand, every time that we think Ben is playing 4D chess, he's playing, 1D chess.
But isn't that 5D chess?
Yes, you're right.
I don't know, Sam. I frankly think it's probably episode 1 of Tag, but I could be wrong. I think it's almost certainly a Tag episode, and it could be episode 7, and it could be episode 3.
I guess I would be surprised if 1 managed, because episode 1 of Tag has I think almost 3 or 4 million
views.
It's
at 3.8 million. And our next most viewed video has 1.7 million or 1.8. So it has
would have
twice
to have double as many
views.
Comments. I think it's right.
I think it's got to be 1 of Tag. It's got twice as many views as any other video we've made. And first episodes tend to have a lot of comments. So I think it's got to be.
All right, let's break Ben's 4D chess.
All right, episode 1 of Tag.
Lock it in.
You have not broken my 4D chess, I'm afraid. As of writing this question, the finale of season 5 had 2 more comments than Tag.
What?
Yeah.
What?
The finale of season 5 had the most comments.
The finale of New Zealand has the most comments? Are we sure? Can we look into this?
I'm going to verify
it. It may be different now. But as of writing this question...
Yeah, but you didn't phrase it as of writing this.
Yeah, you didn't phrase it that way.
You know what? Fine. If episode 1 of Tag now has more comments, I'll let you have
2.6.
All right. So you said the finale of New Zealand, that has 2,648 comments. And episode 1 of Tag, 2,645.
So it's 1.
Damn.
You're off by 1 then.
We're off by 3. Ben has actually grown his lead.
Yeah, apparently. God.
Well, the good news is I don't think we would have ever guessed that.
Isn't that pretty crazy?
No. That's surprising, yeah.
Kind of interesting. Although, I do think there is logic to it. Like, I think it was a season that people were, like, very emotionally invested in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And had a rather exciting finish. So, makes sense. Okay. If you get one more question wrong, you miss out on the prize of getting to tweet something from my Twitter account.
Oh, I really want that one.
I know. It's a good one.
Wait. But we've only missed 3.
Yeah.
So if we get one more wrong, all of the prizes were at even intervals. So if we get one more wrong, we still get to tweet.
Oh, no. Wait. That's right. Hold on. I'm trying to do the math. You have to get what? You have to get 8, correct? To get that one? I've lost track.
These are your rules.
You have to get 8 correct to get that one. So far, you've gotten 1. Hold on. 1. not that one. 2.
Ben.
3.
We've
Shut up. I'm counting. 3.
We've gotten 6. And we've missed 3.
Okay, that sounds right.
You can't trust Adam. I think you got to do your own math.
I feel like you've gotten more than that. You've gotten 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
How does it take you this long to
count
them?
6. Okay, Adam was right.
Manny, by the way, our audio editor Manny, I'd like that entire sequence to play out unedited.
Great. These things matter. We have to maintain the integrity of the game. Next question, okay? Name 3 of the game-designated most beautiful places in Season 4 other than Indiana Dunes National Park.
Okay, the Grand Canyon is 1.
Okay.
I didn't make this list. I have no idea.
Well, it's just a list of, the most beautiful places in, like, each state. I know the Grand Canyon was 1.
Oh.
I'm almost certain that Lake Tahoe was the one for Nevada.
Oh, I'm pretty sure Maroon Bells was 1, because I remember looking at that and thinking it'd be funny.
Oh, great. I don't know what that is, but let's lock that in. Like, I think we got 3 right there.
It's right there.
Okay, perfect.
The audience can't see. I don't want them to know which direction it is for me, but it's like right here.
Grand Canyon National Park, Maroon Bells, Lake Tahoe?
Yeah.
All 3 are correct.
Let's go.
Easy.
Easy one. Okay.
Oh, you know what we should do, Adam?
What should we do?
You remember when Howie Mandel accidentally, posted a TikTok of an enema?
No, I didn't know
But
that.
It wasn't actually an accident? Yeah.
You have to get 1 more correct.
In order to post a picture of an enema?
Tweet an enema from my account.
Okay.
I really don't think we should do that. I think that counts as sexual harassment, probably, in the workplace, if we do that.
No.
It's part of the game. You can tweet an enema if you need to. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Howie Mandel did, and he's doing fine.
Right, but not on behalf of one of his employees.
He just did it himself.
Yeah. I think that's different.
Well, that's why I need to convince you to think it's a good idea.
Okay. Well, I think we can discuss this at a later time.
Don't get ahead of yourselves. There are 2 more questions. You have to get 1 of them right.
I'll do some research in the background.
Of enemas? You're going to Google the word enemas just in the background and see what you find?
E-N-E-M-A, right? Oh, this is just showing the devices.
Ben, what's the next question?
Or no, actually, sorry. It was not someone getting an enema. I think it was a pro.
How did he tweet a pro?
Okay, that phrase, now we've really moved past the bounds of good taste here. Ben, what's the next question?
Yeah, we might need to censor that.
Great. Here is question 11. In the popular Jetlag the Game fan fiction, I can smell you like an animal. Sam is compelled by a supernatural impulse to take my life. By what means does he kill me?
How the fuck would we know that?
You can facts and logic it.
Okay, he can smell you like an animal.
Didn't we have a whole discussion last time on not reading fan fiction?
I've brought this one up before.
Is this from your cousin?
No. I don't know who wrote this one. I wouldn't recommend reading.
Are you implying that your cousin wrote fan fiction about you?
No, my cousins didn't write any fan fiction.
Your cousins read the
fan fiction. I mean, they write a lot of fan fiction, but not about me.
They read the fan fiction.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I don't know. Like, probably ran you over with a train, right? I mean, that seems like the most logical thing.
What if it was like alcohol poisoning? That feels on brand.
Again, I would pay attention to the wording of this question.
I can smell you like an animal. Okay. A supernatural impulse. That implies he's a werewolf. Does he kill you? Does he maul you with his werewolf abilities? Sam, why else would you be able to smell Ben like an animal?
It's not like an animal. Humans are animals.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Okay. But I'm just saying it's a supernatural impulse, which to me, I feel like it would make sense that you're a werewolf.
Werewolf makes sense.
I think that's our best guess.
Because that's like the main supernatural animal. But it feels weirdly tame, just like casual, you know, werewolf fanfic.
No, but you kill him. That's not that tame at all. You maul him to death.
Yeah, but like, I mean, I feel like it's rare to have a werewolf story where someone doesn't die. That's kind of like the point of werewolves.
Okay, what do you think is a more likely answer?
I don't know. I think I'm much better at poking holes in you than coming up with suggestions.
2 minutes.
I think he's mauled to death. I think that's our best guess.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I don't really have any better suggestion.
All right, I think that Sam kills you with his werewolf claws.
That is incorrect. Sam is a vampire in this story.
Vampires are animals because they're like humans, but like in the other definition of animals, they're not animals.
Sam kills me with his vampire fangs in this story.
We were really close.
This is like fanfic 101. Werewolves. It's a vampire story. Of course it's a vampire story.
Why?
But why would vampires be able to smell you like an animal? I don't think that's a vampire thing.
Because they like smell blood, probably.
I think being able to smell people is more of a werewolf thing.
What part of this is, of course, it's a vampire?
That's like people fucking love vampire stories in the fanfic world.
Yeah, but also werewolf
don't they
stories.
Also love werewolf stories?
Yeah.
Who fucking loves werewolf stories? Who's ever read a werewolf story?
The werewolf people. Have you seen how many wolf shirts Walmart sells?
Twilight is half about werewolves. What the fuck are you talking about?
Twilight is not half about werewolves. Twilight is like 10% about
Teen
werewolves.
Teen Wolf is an entire fucking show about werewolves. Teen Wolf.
That's the whole premise of Twilight.
Twilight is a vampire story.
Teen
this
Wolf.
This was a vampire then. Story. No one gives a shit about Teen Wolf. Doesn't matter. You guys got that one wrong, okay? You've got one question left. If you get this one correct...
I blame this. You know what? I want to blame this on the fans. And specifically, directly... No, I shouldn't say.
You didn't use your logic good enough.
No, we used logic. The fanfic titling didn't use logic.
I feel like I used more logic than the author of the fanfiction.
Okay, well, you can take that up with them. I don't care. What matters is that there is one question left, okay?
What?
If you get this question right, you get the tweet prize.
Oh, yes.
If you do not, you don't. The game is over. You only get my Venmo money, okay?
Was there not a prize in between?
You didn't get that one. That was the buff.
We lost the buff?
You don't get the buff.
Yeah, we lost the buff a while ago.
You don't get the buff, you don't get the cookies.
We've lost a lot.
I know.
It's fine. Because really, honestly, the second tier prize is perhaps the best one if you use it properly.
Yeah.
And if you get this question right, you get it, okay? Here is our last question. In season 3, whose finish line location did a runner get closest to?
Fuck. Okay.
Oh, we can get this. Okay.
I'm guessing, Sam, that it was you. But it might, no, actually, well, how far did you get south of Strasbourg? Because it might have been me with Paris.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say no measuring. You're not allowed to go measure things.
Sure. The furthest south I got was really Stuttgart, and not even really Stuttgart.
And that wasn't that far south.
No, that was like barely over the line. I think it might be Paris.
I kind of think it's Paris.
Because Ben, the furthest north we got was not much. So definitely was not Ben's. Well, actually, no. Because
Well, Ben did get all the way to Brussels.
Yeah, but Brussels isn't that far over the line.
That's true.
Because might have actually technically got closer to Borkum when I took the train to Cologne. Because Cologne is closer to Borkum than Brussels, but it was just on the route that I needed to take.
Would that count?
I think so, because it was just the runner.
Yeah.
Would that count, Ben, if it was a runner getting...
Yeah, it can be any runner. It's just which location was a runner closest to at any given point.
So I feel like it's between Cologne and Borkum and Paris and Jersey. But between those two, I think Paris is closer to Jersey.
I kind of think it's Jersey, but I'm not certain.
Oh, and I guess keep in mind, like, we did go to Calais. Oh, here's what it is. You took the train from Calais to Paris, and that train kind of went closer, I think, to Jersey than even Paris. Because it hugged the coast. I think it went through Amiens.
Maybe.
So I think the closest it would have been was when it kind of hugged the coast south of Calais. And that kind of becomes physically kind of close to Jersey, I think, a little bit, maybe closer than Paris. So I think the best guess probably
is... My first instinct. I think it's probably Jersey. Do you want to lock that in?
But it could be close.
I think it's close. I think let's go with Jersey.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to look at a map, are we?
I'd say you can look at a map, but you just can't measure anything.
Oh, okay. This is going to be...
I'm looking at a map and eyeballing it. That's almost making me think it's Borkum and Cologne.
I don't think that eyeballing is going to help you guys because, I mean, it might, but like it's close no matter what.
Oh, like the difference is pretty close.
All three locations are close.
All three?
Yeah, I don't know. Looking at it now more closely. Now I kind of think that it's... Wait a minute. Now I kind of think that it's Zermatt.
60 seconds.
Now I kind of think it's Zermatt. I think it's Zermatt, actually. I think it's Zermatt. I think Stuttgart is close enough.
But wouldn't Ben structure the final question to make a point about how he actually did really good because we got really close to Borkum?
That would make sense, but I don't know. I kind of think it's Zermatt. Could be wrong. Could be wrong.
I think it's
sure.
Like a complete crapshoot between the three. I don't...
30 seconds.
I don't know. I think it's very hard to know.
Actually, okay. I guess Strasbourg would be a little bit physically closer to Zermatt than where I finished. You want to say Zermatt?
I think Zermatt is my best guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
10 seconds.
Okay, let's say Zermatt. Yeah.
Okay.
That is correct.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
The closest we got was when Adam was in Strasbourg. And yeah, he was about 170 miles from Zermatt. The next closest would have been, Sam, what you identified when he was on the train down from Calais is maybe 190 from Jersey. But that means you have won the second tier prize. You get to tweet anything from my account. So
Whoa.
You guys can convene, decide how you want to use that fabulous prize. Adam, I will be Venmoing you $1.12.
This rocks for me.
And thank you for playing.
I will say, out of the spirit of sportsmanship, I agree not to tweet a from your Twitter account.
I honestly don't think that would be that off-brand.
I don't even know if we can have that phrase in the... I think that might have to be bleeped.
I think it has to be bleeped, yeah. If you want to find out what Howie Mandel tweeted, just search Howie Mandel TikTok. Or sorry, it was TikTok. Search Howie Mandel TikTok, but actually just really don't. It's kind of like the fanfic discussion from last time. You think you want to know, but then you see,
I would argue,
and
you
then
don't.
You don't.
You don't want to know.
Yeah. No, you especially don't want to see.
Yeah.
All right, Adam, what are we tweeting?
Oh, I don't think we should decide now. I think we should give it some time to
see. It can be a surprise. People can see the tweet and they can be like, why did Ben tweet that? And then they go...
Well, we should discuss it on air. That's my suggestion.
I'm trying to think, like, what would be...
The thing is, Ben tweets so many unhinged things that nothing will seem unhinged or weird. What if it's a weirdly serious tweet? Like,
that
would almost be the most surprising thing. Yeah.
I would also say, you know, if people realize that you guys have definitely tweeted from my account, then it's spoilers for this episode.
Kind of.
Maybe we should wait until after the episode comes out for me to tweet it.
Yeah, I don't think they'll realize.
Maybe they won't. Well, it depends what you decide.
They'll realize in the episode, I guess.
You may tweet it at any time.
So we want it to be something where people maybe thing is, what if we do a tweet where Ben expresses his support for the Houthi rebels in Yemen?
Maybe. I kind of think it should be something where he has to tweet at somebody in a way that then he's going to have to deal with the fallout of it. Like,
it's compelling.
Like, I think it would be funny if Ben had to tweet at, like, I don't know. Like, if he tweeted at Dave Wiskus, like, hey, we've discussed it and we think you should be the next guest on Jetlag.
I don't want to
deal. That's going to cause more problems for Sam than it is for me.
Yeah. I think the right approach is weirdly serious, because that'll be right. Very strange, yeah. From Ben's account.
Like, it should really be something that just is almost sort of in the weeds. Like, there should be like a New York Times article about something, and Ben should be like, changing single family home zoning laws to allow for duplexes is like a bad policy that hurts homeowners or something. You know, like, it should be something.
Ooh, yeah.
That's going to be brutal for me. That would kill people. But also,
make Ben seem like a neo-lib.
Yeah. Ben neo-lib era.
Ooh, can we find like a homeless shelter being built near Ben that he can express his NIMBYism about?
Yeah. Well, actually, good fucking luck finding a homeless shelter being built near me.
I mean, and he would do a tweet that was like, I support the building of more homeless shelters, but like, this is going to ruin the character of this neighborhood. You know?
You're not going to find one, because I'm surrounded by a shield of NIMBYs here in Chelsea,
yeah,
Manhattan.
Yeah, that's true.
You can try, but it's unlikely.
I don't know. Maybe Ben should like defend Eric Adams. He should be like, he's made some mistakes, but like, he seems like he's trying his best.
He does seem like he's trying his best.
That's too New York centric.
I don't know if this would be too far past the thing, but like, if he commented on like an RFK Jr. post and was like, I don't agree with everything that he has to say, but I think that, you know, it's good that someone is standing up to Joe Biden and primarying him.
I unequivocally support the Kennedys.
Like, what if he was like, I don't support everything RFK Jr. has to say, but I think we can all agree that everyone on the left needs to get behind any legitimate primary of Joe Biden, and this seems to be the strongest one.
I really like the idea of Ben firing up the urbanism crowd, just because there's so many of them.
They are.
On Twitter.
They'll get my ass.
I mean, I don't know. Could you post like a thing about like, I don't know, like someone getting hit by a bike or something, and you could like, it could be like a complaint about bike lanes. That feels like it'd be pretty believable. Oh no, I've got it. Which is, the price of a subway ride in New York City just went up today. Like, it just got decided today. It's going
$2.75
to $2.90. And I think that Ben should tweet something that's like, people may not like it, but this is necessary for the maintenance of the subway system.
Yeah. So what it should be, I think, is Ben needs to argue that the MTA needs to capture all of its operating revenue through fares. So Ben should say, like, fares should actually be higher because the MTA does not cover its costs with fares, because that'll really fire up the urbanism crowd, because the whole point is that public transit shouldn't need to be profitable. So Ben is like, great, let's raise it more, cover their costs, kind of thing.
Here's what's going to be devastating, though, is that when you have me tweet this, there are a whole bunch of people who are just going to agree with whatever I say. And then they're going to listen to this, and they're going to be like, I've embarrassed myself so badly by agreeing with this point that was made in bad faith.
I actually, sort of thinking about it more, don't want to make Ben do this, because it's too believable. Too many people will believe it.
Well, people will just, and I've noticed this from tweeting, you know, hot takes, is people just get on fucking board.
They'll just say slay queen and then be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Should we lock in a bad take about the MTA raising its fares, and then Ben can do the phrasing?
I actually think totally different perspective. I think that we should just like tweet out a promise that Ben will have to hold himself to, because he'll feel too bad. Like, it should just be something like, anyone who DMs me in the next hour, I will send you a 10-second personalized video.
Oh my God.
Because he'll feel too bad not to do it.
I will do it.
As the one paying Ben's salary, I am against Ben spending a whole hour responding to.
True, I do have to write an HAI today.
No, not on work time.
You can have me tweet that after I'm done writing my HAI today.
Bad urbanism take. I want bad urbanism take.
Just, you guys have to agree on wording and send me something, and I will tweet it.
I want bad urbanism take.
I feel bad about that, because I'm worried that people will believe Ben, and not enough people will see the correction when he reveals that this isn't real. And that feels like a genuinely like negative thing for public perception of Ben and us as a brand.
It'd be so funny if Jetlag got canceled because you guys made a mistake about what I should tweet.
I think it'd be hilarious. Perfect end to the show.
Here, I think that we'll leave it up in the air and then the audience will find out what we decided.
Yeah, just a suspenseful moment.
Okay, yeah, because we do need to have a call later today, I think, maybe. Or we definitely need to have a call later. So we'll discuss on that call and fire off a tweet.
All right.
All right. Ben, you're the host. Wrap it up in 10 seconds.
Thank you all for playing Ben's game.
You're out of time.
I forgot what it's called. But all right. This was fun. And next time, Adam has to do all the work.
I agree.
All right. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.